This morning's reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 15 to 20. And you can find this on page 192 of the New Testament part of your Bible. Be careful then how you live. Not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Shirley, thank you very much indeed. Shall we pray as we come to God's word this morning? Lord, we thank you for this, your day. We thank you that we can gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ to hear your word to us. And we pray that by the same Holy Spirit that inspired these words, that you would be amongst us this morning. Lord, show us your will, and by your Spirit strengthen us to live for you in this world. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord. Amen. Let me just turn a picture to you. Edward VIII. He is most famous for being the king who abdicated in 1936 when he made it known he wished to marry Wallis Simpson. Now, a few years before he died in the early 70s, he gave a remarkable TV interview. He talked about his father, George V, with very impressive whiskers there on the left. He was a very strict disciplinarian. And when his father wanted to admonish him, he would say, "My dear child, you must always remember who you are." And he's trying to say, if you are a prince, if you are a royal, certain behavior is expected of you. If this is your true identity, you need to behave in a certain way. And that's really what we're thinking about this morning as we go to this chapter in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. How are we to live as Christians in this day and age? What should our lives be like? What sort of shape or pattern should our lifestyle be in view of others? Now, Paul has already made a reminder, if you like, to these Ephesian Christians of who they are in Christ. If you look back at the Pew Bibles, if you have them open in front of you, chapter 5 of Ephesians, page 192 in the New Testament, just before our reading, he says this in verses 8 to 10. "For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord." Paul has already reminded these believers who they are in Jesus. He said previously in chapter 4 they're to put off the old self and to put on the new. They were to awake from spiritual sleep and they were to imitate God. Now, as Christians, we are God's new society. We are God's people called to follow him, to live for him, and that means living lives which are appropriate, which are fitting as children of light. My dear child, you must always remember who you are. So the first thing we see in our reading this morning is that we need to be careful. Look again at verse 15. Be careful then how you live. Not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. He's encouraging us here to take seriously how we live. All the behavior, the things we do in our lives. Not to go aimlessly through life, but to set priorities. To be very intentional, to think carefully about how we live. Now, hands up if you watched any of the Olympics on TV in the past few weeks. Excellent. Now, don't get me started on BMX and skateboarding being in the Olympics. Don't get me started. But you have to admit, it's been wonderful to see all these athletes doing what they do. See the dedication and skills on display of the world's best athletes. But of course, their journey started a long time ago. They thought seriously about the training and the sacrifice that would be necessary. They thought about who their coach should be, what their diet should be. They thought about how to raise money for getting the right equipment and attending competitions. Winning a medal did not happen by chance. It took years of careful planning and preparation, as well as dedication and commitment. Now, most of us, if I look out of us, are not world-class athletes. I think that's fair to say. We don't have a gold medal around our necks, but we have something even greater, a glory and honor that will last for eternity. We are children of God, called to be living for him in this world. We are his ambassadors. We're to be salt and light, carrying his message in the world. Are we careful about how we live? Are we being wise? Think, for instance, about how we use our time. Time is a precious commodity, yet each one of us has exactly the same amount as the person beside you. We each have 60 minutes in an hour, 24 hours in a day, 365 days in a year. We can all fritter away our time. We all have our favorite ways of frittering away our time. It might be the internet. It might be TV. Have you ever sat down to watch something for 30 minutes on TV and then suddenly 3 hours have passed? Suddenly we're now experts in Spanish football, the life cycle of the snail, and the economic situation in Peru. We fritter away our time. Let's be honest with ourselves. Sometimes we're not the best stewards of our time. Time is a talent, if you remember that parable of Jesus. Do you remember the king goes away? He gives different things to his servants, the talents. What do they do with them? Do we bury it in the ground and squander it, or do we put our time to good use? All of us will be accountable when the king comes back and he asks us, what have you done with your talents, including our time? But as well as time, Paul also asks us not to be foolish, but understand what God's will is. Verse 17, understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, it may seem completely mad to most modern people around us. How can we possibly know what God is like? How can we possibly know what God's will is for me? Now, I think it's fair to say we cannot find detailed answers in the Bible to every point of our lives. But we are given principles, guidelines about how God wants us to live. We have to admit that often guidance is a struggle. Piecing together principles from Scripture, maybe then we add to that advice from friends, then our own prayer, study, and reflection. Sometimes it can be a struggle to know the will of God in our lives. Often it takes time and effort, but gradually it will come. God has promised to guide his people. Not just our own fancy, not our own thoughts and feelings, but to know the will of God. And many of us have discovered the real benefits of being in a small group, of being in a prayer triplet, of being accountable to other people, of letting them into our lives and being there for each other. Do you remember when Jesus taught his disciples how to pray? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I remember that. Is that really our wish? That God's will be done, not just our thoughts and feelings. We would both understand God's will and put it into practice. That's what Paul is teaching the Ephesians. That's what he wants us to understand today. So we need to think about our time. We need to think about how to understand God's will in our lives. But then verse 18, he then goes on in a different tangent. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, Ephesus was a place that was notorious for its loose living, its promiscuity, and its immoral lifestyle. There was in Ephesus a huge temple to the goddess Artemis, And people flocked in from all parts of the known world to worship that pagan goddess. And Paul the Apostle understands it is so hard for these Christians to stand up against that pagan culture. He was there in Ephesus for 3 years, teaching, lecturing, guiding, establishing a church. And I just wonder sometimes, has the culture around us begun to seep into the church as well? We have to admit that we live in a time when many people around us have a real problem with alcohol. There will be people here in this church who have experienced firsthand the abuse caused by alcohol, maybe from an abusive parent, or a family home that was not a safe or happy place. Many here will have battled addictions themselves or helped others through it. And what is our response to be when Paul tells us, don't get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery? Now, I'm not advocating we should always be a strict teetotaler, but we do have to be careful about what our relationship with alcohol says to those around us. I wonder if a very unhelpful attitude to drinking is sometimes permeated even into the church. You know, it's not great when Christians actually laugh and make fun of the fact that they had too much the night before. Friends, that's not what it should be. I wonder if we actually set limits upon ourselves when we go out or we entertain at home. We're told to put off the old self and to put on the new, living differently from those around us. We're to live as children of light. We may get to the stage that we need professional help, or we need to confide in some close friends here in the church. And I'm not saying it's easy to change our habits. But sometimes people say to me, you can't change, you know, leopard spots, or you can't teach an old dog new tricks. That's not true. If you believe in the gospel, you believe in transformation and change. God changes things. I just wonder if we need to reflect perhaps on what Paul is saying to us and think about how we live our lives. So Paul is encouraging us here to think about careful living, to be wise for him. But he also encourages us to be filled. Do you see how he sort of makes that connection? So don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. As you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in our hearts. The Ephesians encouraged not to lead to debauchery, but to instead be filled with the Spirit. And the language here is not sort of one-off historical event. You've suddenly been filled as you become a Christian, but it's an ongoing, daily, continuous thing. We've got to be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I remember in Acts chapter 2, in the story of Pentecost, the same connection is made. Many of those onlookers saw the Christians being filled with the Spirit, and what did they think? They're drunk. They have too much wine. And Peter's got to remind them, actually, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. That's not what they're filled with. We need to pray that if we're under the influence, it's under the influence of the right thing. And when the Spirit dwells in the believer, there's a sense of joy and gratefulness to God overflowing within us. The church has found from the very earliest days that music and singing is the very natural response of a Christian to what God has done for us. And in the Christian church, we have a great treasury, a great storehouse of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Let them fill us. Let them seep deep into us. Now, whether it's a traditional setting of a psalm, a traditional choral anthem, or a contemporary worship song, I wonder if we use music to help us in our worship. Even at home, as we're driving, doing the dishes, at the ironing board, wherever it might be. Well, I think it's been really hard for churches right across the world for the past 18 months when we haven't been able to sing out loud. And it's great to be able to be here this morning and to worship God with our voices. And let's thank God that many of those restrictions have now been lifted. A few weeks ago, the family was at the Keswick Convention up in the Lake District, and it was wonderful for thousands of Christians to gather together and sing praises to God. There's something uplifting, something greatly encouraging, and it's wonderful to have our music group with us this morning to help us in our worship. But if you're thinking, well, I'm not very musical, I can't sing in tune, well, be encouraged. Say, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts. You don't even have to sing out loud. It's really the attitude within us. In Instead of being like the Old Testament people of God, the Israelites, constantly grumbling in the wilderness, we're to be full of thankfulness and gratitude. If we're honest with ourselves, all of us like to have a good moan at times. We like to mumble and to groan. If there was an Olympic sport of moaning, I think Team GB would probably do quite well. But of course, we would do it in a very British and restrained way. But that shouldn't define us. As Christians, we shouldn't be the Victor Meldrew on our streets. We should not be noted for being crotchety and miserable. We should be noted for being joyful, with a real sense of thankfulness and gratitude. Does that define us? As Christians, as a church, are we thankful people? Are we thankful sometimes not just for the material things, for health, for food, shelter, but for spiritual blessings too? Sometimes we need to take a step back, take a deep breath, and consciously remind ourselves of all the good things God has done for us. And in Ephesians, it's a great checklist, if you like. We've been called and chosen by the Father, saved and forgiven by the Son, sanctified by the Spirit. We have a lot to thank God for. Our natural selves, often we're curved in upon ourselves. Naturally, we think sometimes about the things we don't have and crave, and we very need to consciously remember all that God has given us. Thanks to God at all times and for everything. So are we being careful, and are we being filled? Will we remember who we are as God's children living in this world? Are we living lives that are fitting and appropriate? In the parallel passage to this, in Colossians chapter 4, Paul writes, "Conduct yourselves wisely towards outsiders, making the most of the time." Towards outsiders. I wonder if we grasp sometimes that people are actually watching us. They're thinking, what is it about that person? They say they're a Christian. Is there anything in their lives that gives evidence of that? Are we just viewed as eccentric or weird? Or does our lifestyle make people sit up and notice? Does it make people want to know more? Are we being thankful and grateful to God? From our attitudes and using our time, to our drinking habits, from making music in our heart to God, to being thankful. Let's ask God that he would strengthen us to live out being children of light. Let's be determined to live out who we are in Christ. My dear child, you must always remember who you are. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the words of the apostle. Lord, sometimes they can make us feel uncomfortable and make us squirm. Lord, we know that sometimes, if we're honest, we live in the darkness and we do not live in the light. Lord, you know the different areas of our lives that we'd be ashamed if people knew about. You know the things that are not pleasing to you. Lord, I pray that you would give us that strength and courage to turn away from the darkness and to embrace you. Lord, please give us guidance. Help us to know your will. Grant to us people in our lives that we can trust, that we can share with, that will help us to be holy. Lord, we thank you for this church family here in Lechlade. Thank you for all the encouragement and help they are to us. As a church, help us to be wise. Help us to be careful how we live. And we give ourselves to you. In the name of Jesus, who died and rose again, in his name we pray. Amen.